Armed with a microphone, an inquisitive mind, and an ability to talk under wet cement with a mouthful of marbles, Ratbag and Chatterbox Pete Dillon chats with interesting folk from around the globe and around the corner. Let's chat with Pete Dillon.
Probably one of the most famous things to come out of Warrnambool is a young man by the name of Tom Colin Ballard. Here in Brisbane for the Brisbane Comedy Festival, Tom, good to talk to you.
Lovely to see you too. Pete, thanks for talking to me.
Dave Hughes is from Warrnambool too. I think he's more famous than me.
Hey, you've been doing this now for, let's say, a dozen years or thereabouts.
Yes.
How's comedy changed for you?
For me? That's a very interesting question. I think that I have got to the change. When I started doing comedy, I just wanted to be on stage. I wanted attention. I wanted to be able to do it at whatever cost. If that meant saying stuff I didn't believe or saying jokes that didn't really mean anything to me, that was all fine as long as I was doing comedy and I was around comedians and people would think I was a comedian. And after a while, you sort of go, well, I can technically do this on a technicality. Now, what do I want to say with my comedy? What do I want to make people think, and how deep or revealing do I want to go with the kind of stuff I'm talking about? So after a while, you just do it more and you see more of it and you see how great it can be and you try and shoot for that.
Yeah. Did you have a mentor? Did you have somebody who you looked at and went, I want my 50 minutes on stage to be like that, to be that person, to be that empowering, to be a Dave Thornton or to be a Dave Hughes or to be a...
Another Dave.
So was there somebody you looked at and went, that's kind of what I want to do? Or was it all very much, I want to be Tom Ballard and this is how it's going to happen and you just better pay attention?
Certainly not that last one. I mean, someone I really love is Daniel Kitson, who many would cite as like their favourite comedian because he sort of does comedy that makes you laugh a lot, but also makes you think and makes you feel and sort of, he's kind of the best around, I reckon. So in a way, I guess I'm trying to be vaguely as good as him and never will be, but that's kind of what you're shooting for. Stuart Lee is someone else I put in that category. But like in terms of a direct mentor, I mean, someone like Will Anderson has been nothing but incredibly supportive and encouraging. And I mean, I've had this weird sort of, you know, similar-ish trajectory where I did Triple J Breakfast like he did, and I did hosted a panel TV show by the same production company that he made, and we're with the same management. And so he certainly takes care of and encourages young comedians, which is very cool.
Did he get 99.8 on his tertiary entrance
score? Nah! What a dumbass! I think he finished his uni degree, though. He studied journalism. I dropped out after 6 years.
You started studying law?
Yes.
Because you were a very smart kid.
It's some things.
Ducks of the class, ducks of the school.
Ducks of the southwest region, but yeah, you know, it's not important. I don't focus on those things, I hold on to them.
International public speaking.
Yes.
Was that public speaking as a kid? And you know, we used to get belted up at school for that kind of behaviour. Did that give you some framework to work within when you are putting a show like that on?
Yeah, I think so. I think like confidence is the main thing. Like you just do that enough and you get to a point where you go, yes, I can stand up in front of a room full of people and I can say what I think. And then sometimes you put some jokes into those high school comedy competitions, the high school public speaking competitions. And then, I mean, if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been able to do Class Clowns, which was the high school competition I did. Yeah, I just wouldn't have had the guts.
Would you have sworn as much back then?
No, I've developed a filthy mouth over time.
Yeah, it's well done. It's nicely played. Hey, 12 years ago, I think it was, judging the Melbourne Comedy Festival Awards, the Barry, is, and you were a fresh-faced young kid.
Raw Comedy?
I think it must have been Raw Comedy. I think you got Best Newcomer or something, weren't you?
I got Best Newcomer at the 2009 Comedy Festival.
Yeah, 2009, so that's 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was a fresh-faced young kid who talked a lot about who he was, sexuality-wise. Mm-hmm. 10 years down the track, it seems that poofs and lesbians are a dime a dozen in the comedy scene now.
Yes.
And it's, you know, there's a plethora of you.
Yes.
How different do you have to think about your 50 minutes now?
Mm.
Because being a gay comedian is no longer something that's kind of special.
That's very
because
boring.
There's so bloody many of you.
Yes.
So how have you had to change what you do to get out of that mold, I suppose?
Well, it just sort of happened naturally. I mean, I've, you know, wrung it dry for everything that it could possibly give me. First show was about coming out. I've done one about a gay breakup. I did a whole hour about homophobia that I experienced. I've hosted Mardi Gras. You know, like, you know, yeah. I've certainly, you know, used my sexuality as material as much as I possibly can. But you're right. After a while, you know, that's...
Bloody Joel Creasy's coming out.
I mean, I love how diverse, yeah, how diverse the scene is and how lots of different queer people have got opportunities. I think there are people coming through who are doing, talking about gender, people like Cassie Workman. Charity Work is a new drag queen stand-up who's doing the Comedy Zone this year. I love that stuff. I think queer women, like, you know, someone like Hannah Gadsby, obviously, is giving people huge insight into the experience of queer women, and that's very cool. So, I mean, that's the dream, right? We should just be people, and I talk about being gay sometimes when it's relevant, and there are some things about being gay that are very unique to being gay, but I'm also just a human being looking for love.
Oh, that's almost sad.
Almost.
So nightly being axed probably was a relatively big blow to your ego. It was stupid that it was axed because the ratings were good, but why, how have you bounced back? What's the silver lining on that cloud?
Oh, look, I mean, I have a lot of jokes about it being cancelled. It's quite funny that it got cancelled. It's funny to sort of, play the victim a little bit around that. And I think audiences were coming to this show this year. I didn't do a stand-up show last year while I was doing Tonightly. I think people come to the show this year. I assume there's a bunch of people who saw Tonightly who want to come see me do stand-up and might feel similarly that there was an injustice done there, so that they'll sort of, you know, be with me for that a little bit. But at the end of the day, there are much worse problems in the world, and we got to make 160 episodes, and I really loved that show, you know, particularly where it got to at the end. And I bounced back by just having more control over my life. It was super fun to do, but it was exhausting, and the schedule was insane and probably wasn't sustainable, to be honest, unless we, got a significant funding increase. I don't think the show probably would have stuck around as long, much longer anyway, because everyone was just so tired. And there's only so much news in Australia, actually. So,
But it's such rich pickings. The politics. True. You don't need to go any further than the Australian political circus to find news every day.
That's true. Mm. So I just celebrate the fact that it existed at all, and just enjoy the fact that I don't have to do it every day now, and I have more time and energy to focus on
capitalism.
Stuff like fixing capitalism. That's my new thing. Yes.
Would you think Aisha would have allowed it to be cancelled? Were she chairman?
I have no idea. I've never met Ida in my life. I don't think she probably doesn't like my filthy mouth. I don't think Justin Milne was involved in the cancelling of Tonightly. I don't think he actually was. I know he didn't like our show, but I don't think the chairman actually makes those kind of calls. But she seems alright. I hope she does alright.
We'll see. So you're 29. There's a great deal ahead, and if you look at sort of comics like Denise Scott and Rich Hall and people who feel like they've been around forever, what's the future look like? Is Tom Ballard on a walking cane doing a show at 60? What do you see? Do you want to go back to doing TV? Do you want to kick Charlie Pickering out of the Weekly and take over his show? What's the future look like?
I don't know. I really would love to do work in the theatre. I've written a play this year. I think...
You gay boys in the theatre.
Well, that was the original pitch. I wanted to be an actor because I was going to be the greatest actor of my generation. And I ended up here. But I really love at least the weird intersection between comedy and theatre. I think people like Daniel Kitson do that very well. There's sort of a one-man show kind of vibe. I really like that stuff. And I would happily do TV as long as it's the right TV. I mean, I am on upcoming episodes of Celebrity Name Game because I have a mortgage. But the experience of Tonightly was so fun, and it was such a gift of a show that it would take a fair bit for me to go back into something like that unless I thought it was really like the right thing to do. So yeah, Australian TV at the moment is a weird beast.
It's become so homogenous. It's just reality show after reality show about failed relationship after failed relationship.
Yes.
Throw in a cooking show, throw in some people dancing, yes. And that's pretty much
yes.
Australian television. You know, when they pick Neighbours and Home and Away to their C channels or their B channels because it just doesn't fit with our psyche anymore. How do we break out of that mold? How do we get shows like Tonight, Lee, and those shows that the ABC are brave enough to put to air?
Mm.
How do we smash those into commercial TV?
Well, I think the ABC needs to become more brave. I understand their timidity because of this wacky government and their attitude towards the ABC. I seriously think that if we have a change of government, that will seriously affect the future of the ABC and for the better. And I think that that will mean that more interesting stuff can be commissioned and made. I also think if some legislation passes that makes Netflix have to do stuff in Australia, then that would be really good. Can I just pause 1 sec? Sorry. Hello.
I'm so sorry.
Hi.
Security's just advised me that we can't have any recording of what's happening on this shit.
Tom, have you ever been kicked out of a green room?
Oh my god, my own green room!
Outrageous.
I'm sorry, they tried to shut us down, people, okay? Because they're scared of the truth bombs that we're dropping. Yo. ABC.
The timidity of the ABC, ABC and commercial yes. TV.
Yes, and they need to pass laws that make Netflix have to make content locally, because at the moment they're just doing that out of the goodness of their heart. Mm. But yes, that's something that actually needs to be legislated, yeah, and regulated.
So how does Sean McAuliffe get away with his mad as hell? McAuliffe is another, I think, genius person, very, very smart, very, very funny.
Yes.
And gets away with probably a lot more than most on commercial TV. How does he get away with that? Where is that sort of stop point where they say, well, that's enough, or McAuliffe can do it because he's McAuliffe?
Oh, well, look, I mean, the ABC is more edgy and genre-pushing than any commercial station because they make that decision and because they want to make more interesting stuff and that... and they don't have a profit motive. Capitalism. whereas, and I know personally that within, you know, because Sean McAuliffe is Sean McAuliffe, he is very insistent on control, creative control, and doesn't react very well when the ABC says you're not allowed to do that thing anymore. Now, there is editorial oversight of the ABC, which I think is important. We push back against it a lot in Tonightly because often their feedback was stupid. And as much as they like to think they're independent, the truth is, you know, there are political considerations that they have to make, and I guess we saw our job to be as big a rat bag as possible and try and mess that up from time to time.
Are there any glass ceilings left to break, do you think, in comedy? You talked about trans comedians before. We've seen people like Hannah Gadsby, who traumatic upbringing, but has just smashed a whole bunch of glass ceilings. With a well-shod foot. So what she did with Nanette was outstanding, the way that the world stopped and sort of started paying attention to what she had to say, which was brutal, but funny at the same time. What glass ceilings left to break, or are there none? Has comedy sort of got to the point where it's far more now about discourse, like your own show, where it's some funny thrown into a relatively sensible and sincere conversation we need to have about the shape of the world we're leaving for our kids?
Well, I mean, in terms of like diversity of representation, I still think there's a huge way to go in terms of, like, if you look at the history of Australian comedy,
it's been very white, very middle class.
Yes, very male, I would say. I mean, has there been a female hosted comedy show for a while? Maybe McFeast. Kath and Kim, I guess.
A while ago.
Get Kraken, I guess, is doing very well at the moment. But yeah. I mean, there is a lot to be done there. You know, Nazeem just had his show on Channel 7. That was great. But yeah, I think there's a huge barrier of just a requirement of likability to be successful in the Australian media. And I don't know if I'm likable. I think there are some people who really, really hate me, particularly if I start banging on about my politics. But I feel like a
but
bit
politics
more...
politics has always been a part of comedy. It's always been a way to express political opinion in a funny kind of way.
Yeah, that's true. But
I don't know, some people like their satire a little less explicit, I guess. I'm much more explicit. I'm literally saying the coalition are bad.
Yes.
And left-wing ideas are good, and we need more left-wingness in our society, please.
And people in the Conservative Party are C-bombs.
Yes. Yes, that comes up every now and again. Only when required.
Well, Tommy, it's been a delight to catch up with you. It's been too long.
Thank you, Pete. Lovely to see you again, man.
And we'll keep watching where Tom Ballard takes comedy as time unfolds before our eyes.
Or where comedy takes Tom Ballard.